Spirit of the Lord is upon me. His anointing is empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, and he's calling me to the
moving, something's changing. Hopefully we're moving and we're changing, because that's what Jesus is after. You can be seated this morning. He's after transforming us, changing us, growing us. Aren't you so glad he doesn't leave us the same? I am so glad that I am not who I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not even who I was yesterday, let's just be honest. You know, sometimes we spend some time with Jesus and we walk away still carrying everything. I hear some music. Can you hear it? Oh, there it goes. Thank you. That might be hard to teach to you. I was like, I don't have a headphone on, do I? No. Praise God. Well, that took away my train of thought, didn't it? All right, let's pray as we start the lesson today, and we'll get right back on it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you are moving. I thank you that you are changing us. But God, there's still more change that needs to happen in me, and I pray this morning that your spirit would just be at liberty to move first in my heart, in my mind, God, as I deliver this lesson that you have given us today, as we dig into your word and we hear more about you. Help us to draw closer to you. Help us to be hearers and doers of the word, and let us be challenged and transformed this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is not quite the wrap-up, but we're really close to wrapping up our June series for our God's Word for Life. If you don't know where you are, that's where you are. You're in the God's Word for Life class this morning. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Here is where we talk about God's Word. God's Word for Life. God's Word is not meant to just remain here in this pulpit, but it is meant to go with us everywhere that we go. And in this series, we have been learning that Jesus teaches us to pray. He teaches us to pray. And in this series, we've studied over different lessons throughout the weekends, how the Lord invites us to pray, and even shared with us the model for prayer in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And that prayer is to help us to remain in right relationship with Him first, and then in right relationship with each other. We learned that prayer is a private conversation. It is not designed to be a public demonstration. A private conversation. If the only time we're praying is in public, then we're not praying. We have been reminded that God invites us to prayer, and He invites us into the harvest. You see, we must pray first. And as Jesus empowers us through His Spirit, we join Him in the work of the kingdom. And I would ask you this morning, have you entered your field of labor? If you have, thank you. If you haven't, I would challenge you this morning to really consecrate some time of prayer to find out. Chances are you are in your field of labor, you just don't recognize the opportunity. Ask the Lord to help you. He invites us to pray, and He invites us into the work of the field. In our last lesson, last weekend, we explored God's invitation to rest. Now, when I say rest, I'm not talking about just taking a break. I'm a big fan of naps. I love naps. I probably take 4 to 5 naps a week. If I could, I would take a nap every day. My husband's always like, okay, I'll see you later. I know you're going to go rest. Yeah, I am. And it ain't no 10-minute power nap. Like, I'm serious. Like Bishop says, if you're going to do it, go all out. Pajamas, climb into bed, get the comfy pillow. Like, I love that nap. But see, what Jesus is talking to us about is a sweet, blessed rest. Not just a break from the hustle and bustle, but rest. And there's nothing like it than what He offers us. Even in the chaos, even in the turmoil and everything that's going on in our life, we can still find rest. We can find rest. When I think about that, I often think of my friend Stephanie. And her journey is no secret to any of us here. But in the final months of her journey here on earth, she would text me and she would ask for prayer, or we would talk about situations. And I go back and I read this text because it speaks to me constantly. She said, "The waves are crashing. The storm is difficult. But His peace is so sweet. And in the middle of this, I know He's here." She knew the rest, the sweet, blessed rest that Jesus offers. And it's not just for her. It's for you. It's for me. But we have to stop and lean into it. That's the only way. And that takes us saying, you know what? It's not all about me. I can trust Jesus that if I step away, my world won't fall apart. If you can't step away because your world will fall apart, you need to talk to Jesus. And before we dig into today's lesson, I want to ask you to think about the toughest challenge of your personal faith. Maybe you are in the toughest challenge right now. Maybe you faced what you thought was your toughest challenge. Or maybe you're one of the few who has yet to experience what you would call the toughest challenge of faith. But you will. You will face it. It will come. And in that testing, the enemy will try to drive a wedge. He's going to first try and drive a wedge between you and God. Yeah, you thought serving God was going to get you that. Look at what you have to walk through now. You thought God loved you, and now you're facing a cancer diagnosis. You thought God loved you, and you lost that job. The enemy wants to create a wedge and cut you off from God. Not only does he want to create the wedge to cut you off from God, he wants to create the wedge between you and your sister, between you and your brother. A wedge that divides relationship. We're going to pause for a moment, and I just want you to think about it. Sometimes we walk through things and I think, man, that was so hard. That's the hardest thing I've ever done. And then whoosh, something else hits me. That was the hardest thing I have ever been through. Huh, that ain't nothing compared to what I walked through. But you know what happened when I walked through that? I found out that his strength is greater. His grace empowers me. He's going through it with me. Think about that struggle this morning as we continue in our lesson. Pastor, it might have just started with a drawing on a napkin. Claude dreamed of building a tower over I-4 in Orlando, Florida. It would be called the Majesty Building. Has anybody heard of it? You have? Tell me about it. What did she say? It's still being built. 2001, they broke ground. You're right. What is it, 2024? Do the math. 23 years later, it's still under construction. But you see, Claude Bowers decided, we're going to build this building, and it's going to take us a year, maybe a year and a half. Well, clearly the cat's out of the bag. They started that building in 2001. And as of this writing, I even Googled it because I was like, I need to know. I texted Pastor Phil. I'm like, hey, have you heard of the eyesore on I-4? And he's like, what? That became the nickname of this building because, Peter, they started doing it. Do you have any building projects that took 23 years? Mm-mm. Good job. He's a very good project manager. The eyesore on I-4. Or some people called it the mistake by the lake. Blood pressure rises as people drove by it for years because it was just a skeleton of a building. Though it's still under construction, they got the windows on. If you want to Google this, you should. It's quite the building, the glass structure of it. Don't do it now. Stay with me here. You can look at it later. But I looked it up. It's a real building, and it is still under construction. But it's not quite the eyesore that it was because they finally got the glass on there. So when you look on the outside, it looks like it's done so people can rest a little bit better, but it's not completed. It's still under construction. It appears to be done, but it's not. You see, no one sets out with a dream or a blueprint planning to invest years and millions of dollars and thousands of hours just to walk away from it. That was not Claude Bowers' intent. His team, certainly, it wasn't their intent either. And neither was the intent of the men in Genesis chapter 11. You see, they had heard their great-grandfather Noah tell them about a worldwide flood that washed away the entire world except for one faithful family. And they determined they would not suffer the same fate. What did they do? What's that, Sister Kayla? They built a tower. They built a skyscraper and said, we're going to the heavens, God, and you're not going to stop us. We will not suffer the same fate. everyone would know our name and nothing would scatter us. That dream might have started off with a stick drawing in the sand, but with an unrivaled level of devotion and unity, they were able to make that dream a reality. You see, they had the same plan and they spoke the same language, and they started building their tower, and they got God's attention. He took a look at what they were doing, and Genesis 11:6 says, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." Nothing shall be restrained from them. They are one. Imagine if that level of tenacious devotion could build a skyscraper that goes to the heavens. What level of unity and persistent devotion, what will that do in our church? What will that do in our families? What will that do in our communities? What will it do? You see, Jesus understands. He understands the awesome power of unity, which is why he prayed the prayer that he prayed in John chapter 17. You see, in the 17th chapter of John, we are deep into Jesus' last hours. You know, his most recent miracle before this time was bringing Lazarus back from the dead. But that was 6 chapters ago. And now in John chapter 17, we're wading through a sea of red ink, hearing the words of Jesus as he shares them with his disciples, knowing that his hour is coming, and the parting words, the things he wanted them to know before he was going to lay down his life to be the sacrifice for them. And right between the beautiful promise of him going to heaven to prepare a place for you and I and the Garden of Gethsemane is this prayer that Jesus prayed. You see, Jesus knew. He knew he would soon be betrayed by a dear friend. He would be mocked in a trial. He would be convicted of false charges. He would be scourged to the point of death and be crucified as a sinless sacrifice for our sins. But before he went into the depths of that darkness, Jesus prayed. This sacrifice would be the greatest challenge of his short-lived life. This challenge would trump him calming the raging seas or bringing Lazarus back from the dead. It would challenge his human will against his divine will. But he faced this challenge. He did what he knew to do. The man, Christ Jesus, prayed. "Oh, that was easy, Jess. He's God." Do not discount his humanity when he took on the form of flesh and he came here. He walked this earth like you and I are walking. He struggled through his human emotions and his human will. And though he knew that he loved us enough to know that he would be the sacrifice for us, he also knew that this was going to be hard. He knew it was going to be difficult, and he prayed. And that prayer list reveals so much to you and I about what matters. And for a few minutes this morning, we're going to explore this prayer list of Jesus. You see, Jesus knew what he was facing, yet he did not pray for his comfort. Oh, that hit me hard this week. Because if I go through anything that I don't like, what's the first thing I'm praying for? My comfort. Make it easier. Make it hurt less. Make it not as hard. Make it not as challenging. But you see, Jesus said in his prayer, he prayed for the will of God. I think that it speaks to our maturity as we grow in Christ, the languages of our prayer. I remember for way more years than I care to admit what my prayers look like. They were selfish prayers. Give me. I want. Make this. Do that. Help me. Me, 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 me. And while going through this lesson and preparing, the Lord helped me to see backwards a little bit and to see the growth that sometimes I don't feel like I see in myself. And he let me see. And I remember a prayer where somebody reached out to me. They were desperate, desperate for an answer for a loved one that they wanted to see. They actually wrote the answer to their prayer. This is what they wanted me to pray. And I'll never forget the check in my spirit that said, why don't you pray that I accomplish my will in their life versus telling me how to answer this prayer? That changed me. It changed my perspective on what prayer is all about. It changed my perspective on what he is all about. It's not all about our comfort. What is he trying to do? Sometimes we walk through really hard things. Really hard things. Really painful things. Things that are confusing and they just don't make sense. And I know right now there are many of us who are in that season, walking through that, and it just doesn't make sense. But maybe, what if we adopted the attitude of Jesus and we prayed for God's will? We prayed that we might glorify God in this situation that we're in. What if we prayed that we might be able and willing to finish the work that he started? You see, that's what Jesus was praying when he was talking to God, and he was praying and he was saying, listen, I need you to help me. I don't want to go through this. But you know what? The scripture says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And he knew 4,000 years earlier, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He knew what had to take place. But you see, as a man, he didn't want to go through that. He didn't want to endure that. But he knew that sacrifice was why he had came. In chapter 17, he spent 5 verses praying for himself to do the will of God, to glorify God. And then he spent 14 verses praying for his followers. Even on the eve of his execution, Jesus was praying for the sometimes faithful, but more often than not, faithless men who followed him. This challenge was not only Jesus' toughest yet, it would be theirs as well. You see, they had hung all their hopes on Jesus as their Messiah. But by the next sunset, the Romans would have hung him on the cross. All the prayers that Jesus had prayed would matter now that he was no longer with them. One wise anonymous writer said of life, none of us gets out of here alive. And barring those who will go up in the rapture with Jesus, they are absolutely right. But you see, you and I, we can have the blessed hope and assurance that we do not face our challenges alone. Almighty God is on our side. He's walking with us. He's walking through this. He's not leaving us alone. And we can face our challenges with a confidence that says, I may not like what I'm going through, but I know I'm going with Jesus. There's this thing I picked up a couple years ago, and I say this a lot, to reset my mind. I don't like it. That's okay. It won't always be this way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I walk the halls here. I don't like it. That's okay. It won't always be this way. It's going to change. He's going to equip us and he's going to empower us to do what we need to do. You see, Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed that they would be kept from the evil one. Jesus knows the enemy's tactics. He knows that the enemy can't destroy us all together, or you wouldn't be sitting here. Because he would have wiped us out decades ago. But he does not hold the power. Jesus holds the power, and he is in control. But he knows that the enemy is after you. He knows that the enemy won't quit. He knows that he will do whatever it takes to drive that wedge between you and God. He'll drive that wedge between you and your friends. He'll drive that wedge between these pews because he wants to destroy. And if he can do that, he will. But he can't because Jesus is greater. Jesus even told Simon Peter this. He said to him in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. I have prayed for you that when it's hard, you don't give up. I have prayed for you that you don't lose your faith in this season. Why? Because you're going to come through it, and you're going to be stronger, and you're going to be strengthened when you're converted, and when you get on the other side of this, and you're going to lock arms, and you're going to help your sister, or you're going to lock arms, and you're going to help your brother, because I've got eternity on my mind. There's so much more than just here. There's so much more that he wants to give it to us. You see, Jesus opened that playbook and he showed it to Simon Peter. I think that Peter was a little bit like, "I don't know. I don't know what he's saying here. What is he talking about?" But see, Jesus knew what was coming. He knew when the pressure was on how Simon was going to respond. The one who promised that he would be there. Didn't take him long. "I don't know him. No, never heard of him. No, I don't know that man." Three times. Because the enemy was looking to sift him. This is what he's talking about. In that playbook, I can imagine the names of the 12 disciples written in those pages. "I'm going to go after them. I'm going to go after them. If I can't stop Jesus, I'm going to stop them, because if I can shut them up, that ends it." And so he began to scribble this out with his sieve. He would begin to sift the wheat. Remember, Satan cannot destroy us, but he will not stop trying to shake your faith. He's going to shake your faith, and he's going to find out if those bold promises that you made and the altars that you created, are they going to remain, or are they going to go away? Are they just going to drift away in the wind? You see, Jesus prayed for Simon. He prayed for his disciples, and by extension, as his followers, he prayed for you. He prayed for me, that we would be kept safe from the evil one. Jesus never promised Simon that he would stop the sifting. I don't like that. I'm just going to be honest. But you see, we have the power of our prayers braced by the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter that the enemy won't quit. Our God is greater. His grace is stronger. He wants to carry you through this. Don't let him create the wedge. Will our faith remain after it's been tested? In what sometimes feels like the long years, it's really been short years living for Christ. And my faith has been shaken. I've shared with you some of those moments. And I always thought, man, am I not as strong as I thought I was? No, I'm not. I'm human. You're human. Your faith will be shaken. But your faith is not in yourself. Your faith is not in your response. Your faith is in a God who has conquered it all, who has done it all, and who gives it all to us through the power of his Spirit. There are moments to this day that there are friends that I will text and say, just cover me. Cover me because I'm having a hard time. Cover me because I can't get my thoughts straight. I don't have to go into any detail beyond that, and they are in prayer. Those are treasures. We need people who will stand in the gap for us when we cannot see straight. And just because you cannot see straight doesn't mean that you cannot find the hope that he offers. It means that you're human. Human. Walk with him. You know, I think about that and realizing and understanding that the man Christ Jesus, when he prayed this prayer in John 17, that he was praying for us as followers of him. How does that make you feel, knowing that he prayed for you for this very moment that you're in, that your faith will not fail? He prayed for you that you would be protected from the tactics of the enemy. And he didn't just leave it there. He empowers us through his Holy Spirit. He sent us the Comforter to help us to go through this. I cannot imagine doing this without Jesus. Life is hard, and sometimes it's harder. And then it gets even harder, and you're just like, come on. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I don't know who said it. Just popped in my mind. When you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Walk with Jesus. He will carry you through this. Jesus also prayed that his followers, that you and I, would be sanctified by truth. To be sanctified, to be made holy, to be set apart for him. Sanctified by what we want, set apart by the answers that we want. No, sanctified by truth. Truth. His word is truth. I'm also reminded of sitting on the pew over here with Stephanie. It was early on in her diagnosis. And she's like, Jess, I need you to help me. And I'm like, what? She's like, I need to learn more scriptures. And I'm like, what? Like, you are already like a pillar of faith to me, and you're telling me you need to learn more scriptures. She goes, no. Not just learn them. I need to memorize them. I need to have them in here. Because if these are my promises, I need to know what they are. And Ben, what was she clinging to in the end? The scriptures. The promises. Something that Ben did that was just the most beautiful thing. He had people that loved Steph, meaning her daughters, and I got to be a part, and a few of you got to be a part of this, and we wrote note cards with scriptures. Because when her faith was low and she needed encouragement, she needed to be sanctified by the truth of the word. And Ben, I am so glad that you did that. Because it encouraged me to be able to do that, to support other sisters who have walked through similar things, and to see other people encourage each other. That's what we need to do. When it doesn't make sense and it's hard, we need to go to the truth. The truth says. What does the truth say? We must be sanctified by truth. You see, the disciples were starting to feel the chill. The winds of persecution were beginning to blow. It would be very soon, and Jesus would be arrested, and they would literally run for their lives. These men who were with him, when their faith was shook, they weren't there. Except for John, none of them would be at the foot of the cross. Their faith was shaken. Rumors would soon swirl about what Jesus had done and why he deserved to die. Lies. Even after he had risen from the dead, what did they do? They wanted it to look like his body was stolen. which in and of itself is a really fascinating thing, because those Roman soldiers weren't that good of soldiers if that happened, and those disciples were able to take him. But this is what they stirred up. These were the rumors that they created. And during those dark, difficult days, they would not necessarily know what to believe, because they couldn't just go and find Jesus and ask him. But they would have to stand on the truth of what Jesus had already told them versus the rumors that were floating around. While everything else was falling apart, they would have to hold on to the truth. And this is what Jesus prayed for them to be sanctified, to be made holy by truth. For his word is our truth. They would not know who to trust or what to trust, but they could always and forever trust the word of God. It's the same for you and I today. As cultures and trends and values shift like sand in a hurricane, the word of God stands true. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Even if the grass withers, or in our case, drowns, the flower fades, the word of God will stand forever. And his word sanctifies us when we hear it and we heed it. Hear it and heed it. Don't just hear it and dismiss it. Hear it and heed it. What passage of scripture do you run to when your world seems to spin out of control? Maybe you've never thought of that. But I love the insight that Stephanie had. She had no idea their last days on earth she would be blind. But she heard and she heeded. And it strengthened her and it carried her. This is our God's Word for Life lesson. For life. What we are trying to do here is to equip you to heed what you hear. It's not just on Sundays. It's not just on Wednesdays. It's every day. It's every day. Oh, that we would learn to pray the same prayers that Jesus prayed. Not prayers for a new house. Not prayers for a new truck. But prayers for protection and for sanctification. Prayers that God would keep us, that God would keep our brothers and our sisters, our family, that he would keep us from the evil one. Even when the enemy tries to drive wedges, that we would find faith stronger in Jesus. And that after the sifting, our faith would be made stronger. Stronger. Life happens. Life's hard. But oh, the hope in Jesus. After the storm. How's that song go? Satan wouldn't have bothered me if he only knew. I can't remember the words. You know what song I'm talking about, right? If he only knew. If you're walking through something hard, if you're walking through something difficult, if you're walking through the toughest challenge of your life, hang on. Yes. Hang on. And reach out. Reach out to Jesus. And if you feel like I just can't get there, reach out to me and let me pray with you. Reach out to your sister. Let her pray with you. Reach out to your brother and let them pray with you. You don't always have to be the strongest one in the room. Because there will be a day when you are the weakest. And that's okay. It's okay to be weak. It's okay to be challenged. You're human. And on this side of heaven, that's all we're promised. But on this side of Pentecost, we have the Holy Spirit. The Comforter is not just with us. He desires to be in us. That's the mystery that's been revealed to you and I. Don't dismiss it. The Holy Ghost isn't a one-time experience. It's not the golden ticket to heaven. But it's the grace that empowers us to live today, to walk through everything. I don't know who I am reaching for this morning, but I can tell you that I am so far off my notes. But Jesus is right on time. He knows what you are going through. He knows the doubts that are circulating. He knows the thoughts that are there. But you don't have to own them. Hit them with the truth. Hit them with the truth of God's word, so that you can be truly sanctified, truly set apart by his truth. His word is our truth. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just yield in. Let's just take a moment and let's just yield. I know this is a Sunday school lesson, but Jesus is here. And just yield into him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your power, your equipping, strengthening power. God, right now, just wash over our hearts and our minds this morning. Father, help us to know you in a stronger, deeper way. Help us to feel your presence. God, knowing that we are not alone, but you are with us, that you are moving, and that you truly are working all things together for good. Father, don't let our faith fail, but let it be strengthened. Let us know that you are with us. Let us know that you are moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's spoken, and I'm just going to end the lesson right there. Look up. That's what he's asking us to do. Look up. Look above the circumstances. Look above the challenges. Look above what's happening that you don't necessarily care for. Look up and know. He is God. He is faithful, and he is present. He is our strength. You don't always have to be strong. Lean into his strength. Stand with me this morning. It's 10:45. Sunday school class is over, not just for us, but for the teachers who have been ministering to your children. There's such a a sweet, sweet presence. If you need to go get your children, you can go ahead and get your children. If you need a minute where you just want to sit and rest in this presence that is here, he is here and he's not going anywhere. There's still a lot more service to be had, but if you need a moment, take the moment now and lean into Jesus and understand he is here. He loves you and he is near. I love you. Thank you for hanging in there. Take the time that you need. If you feel like you're good, then greet a brother or sister and encourage someone in the Lord.